from Everywhere USA. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. We are back in action on a big Monday episode of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Fired up in this hour to talk to John Yoo. He, of course, is a law professor at Berkeley University. But at one point, he was the official legal counsel to President George W. Bush. Why are we having the great John Yoo on? Of course, we love talking to the guy. But he is about to weigh in on the fact that the Democrats, while we were off the air, have just introduced articles of impeachment against the president again.
This is ridiculous.
This is absurd. Okay? And the mirror image to where we were the last time they introduced impeachment articles against this president. Season one of impeachment, if you will. Impeachment is becoming like Cobra Kai now. Yeah. Do you have to see season one of impeachment to get season two? I don't know that you do, folks, because the overarching premise is the same. Democrats don't care about you. They don't care about me. They care about the Democratic Party. They don't care about unifying. They don't care about bringing this country together and serving the people that they took an oath to protect. They care about weaponizing every single news narrative they can against this president in a way to accentuate their own political gains. Okay? How do I know this? Because we're in the exact same position we were in last time. This impeachment has zero chance of succeeding. Okay? It didn't then because Republicans controlled the Senate and they were never going to throw Donald Trump out of office. It doesn't now because there's 9 days left in the man's presidency. Okay, I have a better chance of dating Beyonce than the Democrats do of removing President Trump in the next 9 days. This is a true story. Okay, but they're doing it anyway. Why? Because again, at a time when, you know, like back in January, they impeached him on January the 16th was when the trial started last time around. They're not focused on the pandemic. Last time around, the pandemic was on the march. It was a thing. But it wasn't yet a thing, meaning we hadn't entered lockdown phase. We weren't yet completely aware that it was spreading person to person as rapidly as it was because China and the World Health Organization had misled the world for the better part of 3 weeks about knowledge they themselves had already possessed in that this pandemic was spreading. And it was also spreading asymptomatically, but they didn't tell us any of that. So we got to the plate with two strikes against us when it came to handling the coronavirus pandemic. One of the main reasons why was because the Democrats were too busy trying to impeach the president then. Okay, now, thankfully, we have not one but two and now a possible third vaccine on the way to help us combat the pandemic in the long term. But in the short term, again, Americans are in great peril right now. We're hitting at record numbers of caseloads. We're seeing 62% of the small businesses that closed in this country on the verge of never reopening again. But rather than talking about relief, rather than getting these people checks, the Democrats are focused on President Trump. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing how wantonly they are and how brazenly they're willing to tell you, to openly admit that they put their political fortunes ahead of your own prosperity. Okay, but that's what they're doing by making this announcement. I'm going to read it to you because the report literally just came in as they were playing the intro music and we were setting off the pyrotechnics and releasing the doves just the way they do every day when I walk into the studio. You heard the studio audience cheering, standing ovation, you know, as is to be expected with a show of this quality. House Democrats were doing this, and this is the article direct from FoxNews.com. House Democrats introduced an impeachment resolution against President Trump on Monday for incitement of an insurrection just days after the Capitol riot, saying he warrants impeachment and trial and removal from office. This is absurd. Okay, here's the pull quote. In his conduct while president of the United States, and in violation of his constitutional oath, faithfully to execute the office of President of the United States, and to the best of his ability to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care that the law is faithfully executed, Donald John Trump engaged in high crimes and misdemeanors by inciting violence against the government of the United States.
You're not telling me the truth.
Donald Trump, I want to be honest. I hated that he showed up to that rally. I hated that when the violence did break out, he posted a video telling people to go home that began with, "We know they stole it. We know it was a landslide, but they stole it, but you got to go home. I know they stole it. They ripped this up, but you got to go home." I don't like that when the country is turning into a powder keg, Donald Trump is still willing to put his own political fortunes ahead of the country's. But I can't sit here as a guy who calls balls and strikes and tell you the Democrats are any better, because impeaching the president right now, at a time when this country is fiercely divided, man. Like, this is ugly. They're deplatforming conservatives, kicking them off social media. Kicking the president off social media. Big tech now more powerful than the government. You don't think that common sense people are horrified by this? You don't think common sense people are agitated by this? You don't think common sense people are bothered by the fact that we're never going to know the truth about this election because the Democrats are using what went on last week as a justification to blow past the whole thing? Trump needs to be impeached, even though, let's be clear, he didn't tell everybody to go storm the Capitol by force. What went on was a tragedy. What went on was awful. And what went on is something he definitely bears a lot of the responsibility for. But the words did not come out of his mouth, attack the Capitol. Okay? I voted for the president. I support the president. I lost a lot of money betting on the president. Hopefully I do a lot better with Ohio State tonight because I'm taking them huge over Alabama. Don't at me. It's just the way I feel. But the point is, as someone who supports this president, the one thing I prioritize above all else every day on this show is that I put country ahead of party. And the only way we're ever going to make progress as a country is if every one of you does the same. Okay? Democrats don't do that. The coronavirus is a good example. That was a time to put country ahead of party. Okay? We've got a common cause moment. It's a pandemic. It attacks everybody regardless of who you voted for. We're supposed to put our political differences aside, and we're supposed to compete in the ultimate team sport, which is man versus the coronavirus. Democrats didn't do that then, and they're not doing that now. Because again, I say this all the time, one of the things that makes this show work as well as it does is I am one of you. I grew up driving a taxi. I've talked to people of every political persuasion known to man, and I hold an exclusive copy of the Politics to English Dictionary. And what the Democrats are saying, if you turn to page 23 of the Politics to English Dictionary, when it comes to this impeachment, is don't take us seriously. We are not people to be taken seriously. We're absurd. It is one stunt against another. Every news cycle is an exercise in trying to weaponize the country against Donald Trump, against the Republican Party, because their only plan is either to get power or to retain power. Why do we know this? What did we tell you about the coronavirus pandemic the first time around? The Democrats ran on the fact that Donald Trump mishandled it. That's what they did every day. Like, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, he's not taking it seriously. Oh, we'll never get a vaccine. He's lying. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we've got almost three vaccines approved. And now that the Democrats are in office, they're not taking this virus any more seriously than the president was. In fact, when it comes to plans, the only thing they're offering to do is exactly what the president has done.
Correctamundo.
Wear a mask, get a vaccine. For people who told us Trump's party, Trump's plan was all over the map and he was terrible. You know, Trump was, if you remember the old Saturday Night Live sketch, Toonsis the driving cat. Trump was the cat in the car that drove everybody off the cliff. Well, the Democrats, for all intents and purposes, now that they're in power, now that the insurance company has cut them a check and they've gotten a new car, what are they doing? They're giving the keys right back to Toonsis the driving cat. It's the same plan. Because they're not a serious people that's interested in uniting this country. They're not a serious people that's interested in leading this country. They are a serious people in that they are interested in crushing dissent and maintaining their grip on power. Okay, Matt Gaetz comes on the show a lot. He basically explained it from a 20,000-foot view a little bit earlier. Here he is summing up the impeachment effort. This is clip 25.
this impeachment would be unnecessary, it would be divisive, and it's only being done because Democrats want to keep the focus on President Trump. You would think that with just 9-10 days left in the Trump presidency for this term, you would have Democrats eager to focus on what Joe Biden would be bringing to the country, his exciting picks for the cabinet. But you see, they have to continue to hold together a very fragile coalition by maintaining the focus on President Trump. Here's what I expect. They're going to offer articles of impeachment. They're going to have a vote this week. And then Nancy Pelosi will merely hold those articles of impeachment so that the Senate continues with their activities and they're able to maintain the specter of Donald Trump instead of having substantive debate.
He knows what he's talking about.
That's exactly what this is. She gets her hands on the articles. They hold them for potentially down the road in the spring. You know, the spring. Remember when we were hoping to get all the schools fully opened and all the businesses back in operation, let people get out of the house? The spring. When people were going to be inoculated by this vaccine and we were going to restore some sense of normalcy to our society. Democrats don't have any interest in that. Okay, they just want to go back to Donald Trump. Because this is the thing. I see it here in New York. It's the worst run state in the country. New York is an embarrassment. They all want to run against Donald Trump for the rest of their lives. That's what this is about. This is an exercise in control. And if Twitter can censor Donald Trump, that limits his ability to come back and beat these guys. And in the meantime, if these guys can continue to weaponize news narratives against this guy, hold impeachment over his head, they can also keep him in play as a non-threatening political entity that they can keep on running against. That's what they want. In the movie Scarface, if you remember, Tony Montana gives a big speech at the end when he stands up in the restaurant and he's like, you need people like me to point your finger and say, that's the bad guy. That's Donald Trump. That's who he is for them. He is the media's Tony Montana. They all get to point their finger and say, that's the bad guy. Everybody on social media that has devoted the entirety of their lives to hating this guy. Do you realize how many Americans there are in this country who spend 24 hours a day hating Donald Trump so they don't have to look inward at the things they hate about themselves? That's a cottage industry. Like, if Trump does go away, people are lost. They don't know what to do. Remember what Rain Man looked like when he missed the People's Court? That's what's going to happen if Trump goes away. Got to watch Trump. Where's Trump? You know, they're going to lose their minds. Okay. And here is Jim Clyburn from South Carolina talking to Jake Tapper about the idea of holding this. It's absurd. This is clip 4.
Do you have any concerns that Congress will be distracted if this trial goes forward instead of focusing on the cabinet and coronavirus?
Yes, I do have concerns. But so does Speaker Pelosi. Mitch McConnell is a pretty good legislator, and he's doing what he thinks he needs to do to be disruptive of President Biden. Let's give President-elect Biden the 100 days he needs to get his agenda off and running, and maybe we'll send the articles sometimes after that.
That's stupid! Use your common sense.
Yeah, let's give Biden 100 days to get going. And then we'll go back and relitigate the Trump presidency down the road. First of all, we don't even think Biden's going to last 100 days. Kamala's going to have him in a home by then, if we're being completely honest. But this idea that we're just going to, remember, this is the party that wants to unite the country. That's what they're telling you. We're just going to leave this impeachment trial looming in the air till April or May. That'll calm the country down. Let's kick the battlefield can down the road a little bit. You know, we'll let Biden have a chance to implement some dopey policies. We'll try to get the pandemic tamped down. And then, you know, right around Easter, we can all go back to beating the snot out of each other over impeachment of a president who's not even in office anymore. This is embarrassing. We've got more sound from Capitol Hill after this. I'm almost ashamed to play it, but I will, right here on Fox Across America.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failer.
I enjoyed it. It was an unbelievably interesting experience.
Across America with Jimmy Failla. Everybody's just trying to get some clout off this Capitol Hill chaos. CNN has a former advisor to Melania Trump saying the first lady has blood on her hands because of the Capitol Hill chaos. Now it's Melania's fault. Everybody's just trying to get on TV and get their own little clout, get their own little moment in the spotlight of, hey, look at me. Like Colin Powell has voted for the Democratic candidate in the last four elections. Remember this. Voted for Barack Obama twice. Voted for Hillary Clinton twice. Yet he voted for Joe Biden. I'm going to do the show in English today. We're going to try something different. But he's a guy who votes for Joe Biden, votes for Hillary Clinton once, votes for Barack Obama twice. It's four straight presidential elections. He votes Democrat. Feels the need to go on TV last night and say, oh, Colin Powell can't even support the Republican Party anymore. Colin Powell hasn't been supporting the Republican Party for the better part of a decade and a half. But the media runs with this like, see, you see how crazy the Republicans have gotten? That guy who refused to vote for their candidate for 12 straight years can't even vote for their candidates anymore. It's idiotic. Telling us Colin Powell doesn't support the Republicans is like telling us Joe Exotic doesn't support Carol Baskin. Yeah, we were kind of in on the joke. We knew that by now. But everybody's trying to run with this sensationalize it as far as they can go. But like impeachment last time, okay, there is going to be a legal ramification. There is going to be some type of a trial. There's going to be some type of legal effort made. There is going to be some type of residual effect on this country. And I mention all of this because John Yoo is a Berkeley law professor. He was formerly the head of the Office of Legal Counsel to President George W. Bush, which I believe was the last time Colin Powell supported Republicans, which is going back almost, my goodness, 16 years electorally anyway. He is going to be joining us in the next break to let us know what the next steps are as it pertains to censorship, as it pertains to impeachment in this country, because it really has gotten into the silly season. We're 9 days away from getting a new president, okay? We're 9 days away from turning a page in this country. But the ones who don't want to turn it are the people that are going to be in power. And that's scary, okay? Because they are not acting right now like people who won. They're acting like people who lost, trying to ban the networks they don't agree with, like Fox, trying to run people whose ideological viewpoints differ from theirs from social media platforms, trying to get the president out of the way on social media. Understand that this Twitter ban, this Facebook ban, it comes nearly 24 hours after the president committed to a peaceful transition of power. Once the electoral vote had been certified last Thursday morning, President Trump put out a video at 3:41 in the morning saying that he was going to respect the process and we were going to be able to move on. And we all took it as, oh, well, that's good. At least we're going to move on. The Democrats took it as, well, what else can we squeeze out of this thing? And this is why we can't have nice things. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Folks, everybody's trying to cancel conservatives these days all over the country. I just want to point out that we've been trying to cancel this next guest since before it was cool. He is a professor at Berkeley. He served this country under President George W. Bush. John Yoo returns to the show. Hey, man.
Hey, how are you? I can't get canceled off these platforms because I don't use Twitter.
I know. You're a genius, man. You've said a lot of bright things over the years on this show. That might have been the brightest one right there. Like, can we just acknowledge, John Yoo, that nowhere in the world is there a guy who would be better off if only he spent two more hours on Twitter? You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly right. I just got there four or five years before everybody else.
Is that what it was and figured it out? Yeah, because nobody is writing that country music song like Twitter, come back to me or something like that. Not going to happen. Well, listen, it is good to have you back on, and I have so many questions for you. So put on your big boy pants today. I know this is usually an easy show where you go to dumb it down, but you're going to have to earn your paycheck today, John Yoo. This Trump Twitter thing. I wanted to ask you this first and foremost. It strikes me as a little bit selective on their part, only because the president is off Twitter, but there still are some people on there that don't seem to be terribly compliant with their standards of not inciting violence, no?
It's clear that this is being done selectively. Mm-hmm. There are people who are constantly threatening other people with violence, death threats. You have the Chinese Communist Party Foreign Ministry has a Twitter account. Iran has a Twitter account.
Sheesh.
You know, these are far more reprehensible regimes and actors, and they still haven't suffered censorship on Twitter. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, you know, on the other hand, Twitter, Facebook, you know, they're private companies. Mm-hmm. They don't have to obey the First Amendment. You know, mm-hmm. they don't have to follow the same guidelines on free speech that apply to the mm-hmm. government. They're allowed to discriminate, just like I know you would kick off anybody who supported the Philadelphia Eagles on your radio show and dumped all over the Jets and the Giants. You don't have to let all those people on because you, Fox Radio, Fox News, it's all private, you know, it's privately owned corporation.
Well, listen, man, in that, if you really want to talk about propensity for violence, Philadelphia Eagles fans are a lot more violent than most of the things we've seen. But stick with me for a second. I agree with you from a legal standpoint. I guess the bigger concern is that, you know, this is a president of the United States. And, you know, if they're going to become the arbiters of what we can and can't say, because although they're private companies, they have kind of become the public square. And we have safeguards to kind of hold the government in check to an extent. What are the safeguards, or are there none for these big tech oligarchs when it comes to their platforms?
I agree with you, Jimmy. I put aside whether the Twitter and Facebook have to follow the First Amendment. I don't think they do.
Yeah,
that's a totally different question than what's the right thing to do, mm-hmm. right? You know, it used to be thought, you know, one of the things Americans believed in was free speech, mm-hmm. Regardless of whether you're the government or somebody else.
Yeah.
And so you're right. There aren't right now, there aren't very many restraints on what Twitter and Facebook do. Mm-hmm. But by being so selective, by singling out President Trump, they are inviting more regulation. They're going to invite a world where I think maybe Democrats and Republicans are going to get together and start subjecting them to more restrictions on how they operate. Because, as you say, if they want to try to act like they're the public square, which is how they pitch themselves, if they want to pretend to be, you know, the arbiters of what's allowed to be said or not said, mm-hmm. then the American people, I think, are going to demand that they be more closely regulated and watched by the government.
Yeah, well, I think what it comes down to is, you know, different pockets of the American people, because there's one pocket right now that doesn't think this affects them. But in the long run, you know, if these big companies are in fact the gatekeepers of speech, it does tend to end bad for everybody when such things exist in other countries around the world. So that, I guess that would be my concern. I mean, they've also, though, thrown Parler off. They've deplatformed them from Amazon and Apple and places like that. I wasn't a huge Parler guy. But again, the justification there is that these were apps that were used to plan, you know, chaos and stuff like that, with no regard for the fact that these similar apps like Twitter and Facebook were used to plan chaos over the summer in cities that got lit on fire all over the country. So do you feel like, as some people have, this is my question, do you feel like there is an information war being fought? Is this political?
Oh, definitely. I mean, okay. If you were to be completely cynical about it, mm-hmm. And you are looking at it with a political lens, you could say, well, Twitter, Facebook, they rose with Trump. Mm-hmm. Right? Trump was one of the biggest users of Twitter. He's part one of the people who put the thing on the map starting 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now that the Democrats have taken power, now they're kicking Trump off and they're saying, oh, no, we're going to censor now. But they didn't censor Trump before when they thought Trump was in charge. And you could say, look, these are companies, and that actually should cause people some greater worry.
Yeah.
These are private companies that are willing to censor because even though they're not the government, they want to please the government. Mm-hmm. And doing things like that is going to invite demands for more regulation, especially the more and more there seem like arms of the government. And this is the kind of thing that happens in China, for example, where the Chinese government doesn't have to kick over the Chinese corporations. They just, you know, push and browbeat them into doing what the government wants.
Yep. And that's the scary thing that I think a lot of people don't get, because what happens now, John Yoo, is everybody's playing the short game and everybody's more concerned with what's politically expedient today than what will affect, you know, the overall outcome down the road. So we need people to start thinking big picture. Could we nationalize social media, or is that just too expensive and cumbersome?
Yeah, I mean, the government could always take it over and then they'd have to compensate the companies.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good idea. Ultimately, in the long run, I don't want the government running Twitter, Facebook, or any of our community. You know, we saw what that was like. You know, you and I, unfortunately, are old enough to remember what the world was like before Fox and CNN, before cable TV news, when there were only three channels and they were heavily regulated.
Yeah.
And then those three channels basically controlled everything we could see, and they filtered the news for us. I think that's a worse world than sort of wide open Wild West kind of world, which is what it was before Twitter and Facebook started censoring.
No, I was going to say, no, I'm with you there. I think we're arriving at the same junction, albeit through a different means of GPS. You know, yours was a little fancier than mine, but the point is we're sitting at the same intersection here, John Yoo. I'm with you. Let me ask you a really quick question before we move on to stuff pertaining to the president. As someone who had a role in writing what are referred to as the torture memos, can you just answer me? Is it true that the newest form of torture is making people watch The View?
I wouldn't subject that to our worst enemies. Now, I've never watched The View, thankfully, so I take the warnings of my friends, and I never watched it at the first. But even the clips are enough.
It's a lot, man. They were playing it before I came on the air today, and I'm like, everybody in this country right now just needs to calm down. As crazy as things are, everybody needs to just chill out a second, because there's a way to work through this. But I think what's happened within the age of social media is, you know how they say like Americans can't coexist anymore? It's not that we can't coexist. I think it's that we coexist too much. Because maybe not you, you're not on Twitter, but everybody else is. And they're arguing about this stuff 24 hours a day. Most people in society are working an unpaid job as a political pundit 24 hours a day. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting to do it for a living. I can't imagine the people that are doing it in addition to, you know, their own regular job. So would you join me? Should we call for like a national timeout from social media? Maybe like a 72 hour? Could you get behind that at least?
Well, you know, I go, like, one serious point on this is that, despite all the craziness, all the social media talk, even the assault on the Capitol and these protests, you're right, we should time out. We should realize that the Constitution runs according to its own schedule, and it's succeeding. And all this stuff is not stopping that from working. You know, we had an election, we had electors kind of, they voted, the votes got counted. There's going to be a new president on January 20th. The constitutional schedule and all our institutions are continuing to work no matter what people in social media say.
Yep, that's the good news, is that the system is bigger than this moment. And it's good to know that. I mean, that is, you know, it's reassuring at a time when we can definitely use it. What I am not reassured by is we've got 9 days to go in this presidency. The Democrats are now filing articles of impeachment against the president. Isn't that kind of like singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall? Like you start the song a mile before you get there. There's not enough time. You know what I'm saying?
I actually think it's stupid, because you can't remove the president in time. Or you have to have the impeachment. You would want there to be more deliberation and discussion than just today and tomorrow.
Yes.
Then you have to have a trial. Mm-hmm. The Senate, actually, according to the schedule I've seen, can't actually even start a trial until January 19th or 20th. President Trump's going to be out of office on January 20th. What good does it do? So there are people who say, well, even after he's out of office, you can still impeach him. And the only we can't remove him. It doesn't matter. He's already gone. Mm-hmm. The only thing you can do is disqualify him from future office.
Yeah.
I don't think Trump's going to run for office again in 2024 now at this point after what happened this last week. But do they, you know, if you're the Democrats, do you want to spend a month, 2 months, 3 months talking about President Trump in the first 100 days of your Biden administration? I think it's foolish.
Well, I think it's stupid, but I think to answer your question, they do want to talk about him because they like running against Trump. That's kind of what they do, man. He is, you know, did you ever see Scarface with Al Pacino?
Yeah.
Of course.
Do you know I want to introduce you to my little friend.
Hey, you weren't under attack.
No. Say hello to my little friend.
Yeah. It was a genuine question. I wasn't ambushing you at your mansion. That wasn't the point of the question. But no,
that's what happens when the protesters show up at my house in Berkeley.
Yeah, it's not good. I was going to say they make house calls if you're in Berkeley. It's not good. But I was going to say, you know, the president is very much, you remember that speech at the end of Scarface when Tony Montana stands up and says, you need people like me so you can point your finger and say that's the bad guy. That's pretty much what the Democrats have used Donald Trump as. He is the Tony Montana they get to point their finger at every damn day. And even if he's not president, they want the specter of, you know, criminal charges or impeachment hanging over his head because they can focus all of their efforts on convincing the public that, like, hey, at least we're not him. You know, we haven't seen a lot in the way of, like, a plan for governance. Like, right now, the pandemic's still ongoing. We're not talking about that. We're talking about impeaching a guy who's leaving in 9 days. So the whole thing is a stunt, John Yoo. And I only mention it to you because I know you're such an influential guy. Can you throw your weight around and straighten this one out for me?
I'll see if I can get in to see Nancy Pelosi and divert her from this. But yeah. No, look, it is a stunt. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that, you know, who knows? Maybe Trump could turn this into some kind of effort to try to, you know, rehabilitate himself. He'll have, you know, weeks and weeks of floor time on the Senate to make his case against the Democrats and claim this was all a witch hunt and that they're still pursuing him even after he's out of office.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good point. That's what they're going to wind up doing is they're going to over-persecute because they have a tendency to do that. And they're going to make him sympathetic. I mean, to a lot of his supporters, he already is, because a lot of people, like, we're in a place right now where a lot of people, for better or for worse, don't trust elections. The Democrats didn't trust 2016. A lot of conservatives don't trust this one. A lot of independents don't trust this one. And the only way it's ever going to get better is, I think, if you threw all of this to the side, right? Forget impeaching Trump. Forget, you know, 25th Amendment nonsense, because Pence ain't pulling a 25th Amendment, because that means Pence has to put up with these people for the next 8 or 9 days, and he's too smart to want to do that. These people are crazy. But I think the best thing we could do is some type of commission into electoral integrity, because I don't think it's going to change the outcome of the election, but I think it's at least going to bring us to a place where everybody could buy in, and then maybe we move forward. Can you get behind that?
Yeah, in fact, I have a better idea, which is don't let Congress or Washington, D.C. run it. You know, something we saw this year mm-hmm. is that these elections and the choice of electors are up to the states. That was the founders' genius.
Yeah.
Was basically the states pick the president. Mm-hmm. Let the states do it. I trust the states and their legislatures to, you know, study how Florida did it. They did a great job this time. 20 years ago, they were a disaster, right? They produced Florida 2000. This year, no one had any problems with mail-in voting in Florida. Let's study the states. See how Florida did it, and then the other states like Georgia and Arizona and Pennsylvania and Michigan, Wisconsin should copy them.
Yes.
So that I trust that much more than any kind of national commission with Congress. I don't want these elections federalized. I want the states still to stay in charge.
I agree with that point, too, you know, because they don't know what they're doing. We're $27 trillion in debt. They shouldn't be running anything. You know what I mean? The guy who spends you $27 trillion into debt is not supposed to be in charge anymore. You're supposed to, you know, this is like MC Hammer running the Treasury Department at this point, John Yoo. And I don't think it works. I don't think it's a path forward is all I'm trying to say. Hey, really quick.
If MC Hammer was Secretary of Treasury, everything would be gold. That's for sure.
We'd have a lot of parachute pants in the government. We'd have a lot of bling.
You know what? They're coming back. You know they're coming back.
Yeah, you know what? I take it back. We actually need some MC Hammer. Maybe that is what we need at this point. Bring back our national swag, John Yoo.
See, we'd be back on the gold standard. That wouldn't be so bad.
Spot on, man. Another stellar appearance by you. Try not to get canceled out there at Berkeley, okay?
Thanks a lot. I'll give out your name instead. Someone invite on campus to draw all the attention away from me.
the old Jimmy Fallon at Twitter. Yeah, I know this trick, John Yoo. All right. You did me dirty again. Well, I appreciate you stopping by. We'll talk soon, my man.
Okay. Talk to you later.
There he goes. The great John Yoo says if they come after him at Berkeley, he's blaming me. I don't doubt it. He is a really sharp guy. And I'm glad we see eye to eye on the fact that we do need some type of election integrity commission, because if you're going to pretend you care about the country is a mess. Why? Because people don't trust the election. So can we concentrate on that instead of an impeachment? It's absurd. Come on, man. Like, I really mean it, though. I'm trying to be the adult in the room, and that is a bad sign for our country if I've got to be the adult in the room. Let's be clear. But a fast break. We're back after this on Fox Across America.
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
America with Jimmy Failla, 888-788-9910 is the phone number. Today is a bad anniversary of sorts. I don't know if producer John Constantino knows this. I'll have you weigh in a second. Did you know that 47 years ago today, Large Marge died in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, John Constantino? Did you know that?
I will not be putting my thumb on the side of the road then. you know what happens on the night of that happens.
Oh, that's right. You hitchhike, you get picked up by her ghost, right? It's not Large Marge.
I believe she tells the tale that it's that very night.
The right? Worst accident I ever saw. What do you say? Sound of a garbage truck fell off the top
and
of the Empire
State
Building.
Like this.
Large Marge, rest in peace. Paul Rubens, the guy who is Pee-wee Herman, is in my Twitter feed and had just reminded America that it was 47 years ago tonight that Large Marge died. I don't think it's a laughing matter, Pee-wee. That being said, giving Democrats control of all three branches of government is going to quickly start to look like the worst accident we ever saw. These are dopey people. They have just, during the commercial break, deplatformed Ron Paul. Remember Ron Paul, libertarian Ron Paul, ran for president a few times. Rand Paul's dad, he's off pushing Bitcoin now, making money. Nobody knows how Bitcoin works, but it's wildly popular. It's worth all kinds of dough. I couldn't explain it to you if we had a cross-country car ride there and back and I could cheat with Google's help. I still couldn't explain Bitcoin. I don't think the founder of Bitcoin gets Bitcoin, but anybody gets that deplatforming is idiotic and it needs to stop.